When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Glad to be here with you on a Friday. Big Friday for us here on Sports Daily, of course, because we have college football playoffs in the mix now. For the first time ever, we get to talk about that. We'll have that and NFL weekend, including NFL football on Saturday, which includes the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to pick a lot of these games with the full cast coming up in hour number two. So stay tuned for that. Our picks sure to fail. We'll get to Thursday night football last night. We'll look ahead to Shockers K-State coming up tomorrow night as well. All kinds of good stuff to get to today on the show. The IHOP hotline will be open for you to start things off at 869-1240. IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox, come in and try our decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. We'll give away some HTO later in the show as well. Glad to be here with you. Jad Chambers producing alongside Tommy Kester. I'm Jacob Albrecht. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
You know, I'm good. It's a good day. We've got a huge sports weekend to look forward to and to talk about and get ready for this weekend. And it's my last show of the year, taking some vacation time around the holidays. So, you know, it kind of feels like the last day of school a little bit before summer break. So I'm excited about that today.
We'll try to keep you engaged here for 2 hours. You know, we're not mailing it in. We're not watching movies in class. We're not doing any of that. We've got serious business to attend to here today. First of which is Thursday night football. And I have been, look, I hit a bet finally for the first time in a while. You know, one of my long odd parlay things last night. I got that. And the football gods are smiling down because I now, for 8 days or however long it is, get to really mess with Tommy. Because would you look at that? Guess what door creeps open after last night's Broncos loss to the Chargers? Those pesky, no defense playing Cincinnati Bengals have life. And the discussion that Tommy gets more annoyed at probably than any discussion we've ever had on this show, they have life. And what we I don't think we ever put terms on a future wager of Bengals Broncos, but it's right here in front of us. Now, it may not matter. The Bengals could beat the Broncos. The Chiefs could wrap it up and, you know, they could play the Chiefs JV and get a win and still get in. So the chances for the Bengals are still very, very low to actually get in. But man, the fact that they play each other now, and I just love it so much because I know how much it's going to bother Tommy that the Bengals are still alive in this thing.
I just hate that that's what we're leading off with today, because as you just said a second ago, the odds are so slim, they're so small, that the Bengals can actually make the playoffs. And I know the only reason that you're bringing it up is because of how upset I get about this talk about the Bengals and their chances
at the playoffs.
The only reason
I brought it up for like the last 4 months.
I mean, do we really think that Cincinnati's going to win out and Kansas City's going to lose out?
No, I don't. No, you mean the Denver's going to lose out? I don't, because I think Kansas City's going to have it wrapped up. That's the problem for Cincinnati. I do think, like I've thought all along, that Cincinnati is better than Denver and will beat them, but it's too little too late.
Cincinnati also goes on the road at Pittsburgh to wrap up the regular season. Yeah, so, you know, their path is fairly difficult. Now, they do get the Browns this weekend and Dorian Thompson-Robinson starting for Cleveland. You know, so I do like their chances in that
Cincinnati's
game.
Cincinnati's so bad on defense. They're so bad on defense, you never know. But I just love so much that these two teams face off, because I've never been a full believer in Denver. And look, the Chargers had a great second half last night. I do like the Chargers. And you weren't with us yesterday. I do like the Chargers more than I like Denver. That game was vindicating a little bit. Denver's going to have some problems here. And we'll see how they can, you know, handle it. They do a lot of things well, though. And I still don't like them being in the postseason. I don't like any team that has a good pass rush right now in the postseason as it pertains to the Chiefs. Like, I would rather face anybody else, but you can do everything else really well. But if you have a pass rush, that still does scare me a little bit. And the Broncos have a good one. And so we'll see what happens with them. Again, very likely to make the playoffs, because I do think Kansas City will wrap up home field by then and will have nothing to play for in the final week. But it will be fun for but you won't be here for me to mess with it. We got to come up with these terms.
I will be here between Bengals Broncos. I will be here though, leading into that Week 18 game when they play the Broncos. I mean, in the slim chance that Cincinnati is still alive going into Week 18 when the Chiefs play the Broncos to wrap up the regular season, then we can have that conversation.
But we have to come up with the terms, because we set this in motion like a month ago that if the Bengals are playing for anything, that they'll beat them. So now we have to come up with terms on that. We'll come up with something. It'll probably just be beers, but we'll come up with something that will be, hey, look, I'm looking for any sort of entertainment, and this has been wildly entertaining for me. So I'm excited about that last night. I joked that I would lead the show with, should the Bengals let the Broncos win so they don't have to play Joe Burrow in the playoffs?
That's terrible. That's the worst. Why would anybody do that?
You're going to see it. I mean, it's going to be on ESPN or wherever.
My head is going to explode if we have that discussion.
The conflict shows. If we get to the point where that is the scenario, I can guarantee you that question will be one of the conflict show headlines. Should Chiefs let Broncos win to keep Burrow out of playoffs? Like, it's coming. You can see it a mile away, and I love how much this annoys Tommy and maybe all of you out there. So I apologize.
It's probably a good thing that today is my last show of the year, because
probably
I don't think I can handle
next week would have been insufferable.
I don't think I could handle that conversation.
Right.
You know, had that happen.
That's right. It's one of those things like where, you know how it is. Like, you spend a lot of time with somebody and you know the things that really bother them. This is why siblings can get on each other's, or husbands and wives, quite frankly. When you spend a lot of time with somebody and you know what's really going to annoy them, you have to go back to that well probably as often as you can. That's why, like, the world's greatest fist fights involve brothers, right? Like, that's why video game fights are like the worst fights. The most violent, like, non-actual fights are video, because you just know what you can do or say to really bug the other person. If it's bugging you, you can leave us your comments on our video streams. By the way, Facebook, YouTube, and X, those are all available for you. You can also watch, of course, on 12 News Connected and leave us your voice messages on the Odyssey app. I've had a few of those the last couple of days. Appreciate that. And the good thing about those, Jad tells us that if you're downloading the show and listening to it later, you can still leave us a message and we can then get to it the next day. So that's all available for you. The IHOP hotline is there. More seriously on the game last night, just because it happened last night, The Chargers put themselves in pretty good position. As we look at Jim Harbaugh's year one, as the Chargers almost certainly now will make the postseason, it's so funny that every year you go into a year with the Chargers and they're overhyped, right? This year they're not. Harbaugh gets in and they actually can deliver. What a perfect fit, I think, for him, for that team, like all involved, for the Chargers to get that right with Herbert. And I do think it, like when we see these openings across the NFL, like, can we please just get Caleb Williams a competent coach? You know, some of these young quarterbacks, we see it all. Look at what Sam Darnold's doing this year, right? Like sometimes you just get the right situation in there and these guys, the margin for being successful is so slim. It has been very interesting to see the Chargers finally deliver when they didn't have any expectations coming into the year.
You know what I love about what the Chargers have been able to do this year is that their pass catchers were unknowns going into this year. I mean, even Ladd McConkey, you know, is a highly heralded rookie, but we didn't know exactly how that would translate to the NFL. And, you know, you go down that stat line from last night, and you've got McConkey, and you've got Hassan Haskins, who had a touchdown pass. Stone Smart has gotten involved in the passing game over the last few weeks, especially when the Chargers played Kansas City last. Darius Davis had a touchdown as well. And, you know, you go back to the years of Keenan Allen and, you know, Mike Williams and, you know, some of these other guys that had been, you know, the receivers forever for the Chargers. And it wasn't getting done at the level that I think expectations were for the Chargers. And now you've got really a bunch of guys that nobody has ever heard of catching the football, and they're doing a great job at it. And you've got sprinkled in there guys like Joshua Palmer, who had been there before. Quentin Johnston is kind of in and out, like, you know, right? So that's all well and good, but they've really rebuilt the pass catching on that team.
Well, I think too,
and that was like a big unknown, I think, for Justin Herbert. Like, who's he going to throw the ball to?
It was. That's why he was going low in fantasy drafts, all those things. But it tells you what good coaching can do. Because, yeah, look, Quentin Johnston was first round pick. Ladd McConkey was basically a first round pick. He was like the second pick of the second round. So they've invested in the position, but we didn't know. They lost Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams. Those guys had been there forever and were a part of why Justin Herbert was one of the more highly touted rookies we've ever seen. But here, like, they built their offense around the run game to begin the year with J.K. Dobbins. They can't run the ball that well anymore. Like, they're not running it at a very effective clip. They had, in totality, because of some Justin Herbert runs last night, a decent game rushing the ball. But they've, in within the season, like within the last month, they've had to redefine what they are. I mean, that's the other crazy part about it. And Herbert's been so efficient that he's still, you know, only on 30 pass attempts able to throw for almost 300 yards. But, like, it's wild to see what they've been able to do. And I just, like, and maybe I'm the only one, but when I see that, here's what I want in the NFL always. I want great quarterback play. Like, I want the good quarterbacks to be really good. I think it makes the league so much better. And so when Herbert is just constantly shadowed by these just brutal coaches, that drives me crazy. You get a competent, and that's what I hope doesn't happen to a guy like Caleb Williams. Look at Sam Darnold, finally gets in with a competent coach, a coach that knows quarterbacks, and boom, like he's probably top 10 MVP candidate this year. So it's interesting to see all that. But the Chargers are there with it, and they are able to get that done. Let's get to the IHOP hotline real quick before we take our first break. Anthony on the line wants to chime in. Hey, Anthony, what's up? Welcome into Sports Daily.
Man, I just want to say, first of all, I'm glad that you can take the time to listen to me. That makes me feel appreciative and motivated to keep doing what I do, either the podcast or the video. So I thank you for your feedback. Looking at that game last night, though, and it was basically a tale of two halves. I mean, Broncos owned the first half. And I actually kind of watched it just to look at Bo Nix, because the previous game, we knew he threw three picks. There's no way a team throws three picks and still wins the game. Denver found a way to win the game. I'm looking at Bo Nix in that first half. I'm like, okay, I like with this old kid, because he's one of those veterans coming out of college,
right?
A little bit more mature. And I like some of the stuff he was doing, like the dump-off passes. I mean, his long reads weren't there, so he's utilizing the running backs out of the backfield. I'm like, okay, that's why come they like his maturity, because he knows how to do the check now. But then we see the second half, that vaunted Denver defense that was supposed to be so tough. Well, they not only did they bend, they got broke, and the Chargers broke their will. And it goes back to what Harbaugh said about Justin Herbert. He said, you know what? I want him to be my quarterback for as long as I'm here, because that guy is as tough as they come. So we've seen the toughness. We've seen the grit. And they actually look good in them powder blues last night. But I wish the Chargers would go back to the dark blue jersey, the LaDainian Tomlinson look. So I just want to say, I watched the game last night, and it made me pay attention to what, you know, the Bo Nix deal. So I think they're in good hands in Denver. And as far as the Bengals is concerned, getting into the playoffs, I just want to give you this scenario, and I'm getting off the phone. Everybody talks about Lamar Jackson. Everybody talks about what's the guy's the quarterback for Buffalo?
Josh Allen.
And there's some good quarterbacks. And yes, Josh Allen has beaten Patrick Mahomes, but he hasn't beaten him when it counts the most. There's only two quarterbacks that have beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. One would be Tom Brady, and he's no longer active. And he's also beaten him in the Super Bowl, and he's no longer active. And the only other quarterback that's done it, that's active, that have beaten him in the playoffs, is Joe Burrow. Not saying that if the Bengals get in there, that he can do it, but take that into consideration. And as a Chiefs fan, I'm not a Chiefs fan, but the Chiefs fans who are maybe listening or on the radio, if the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl, because I don't think the defenses can hold up. Buffalo's defense show, they're very vulnerable. If the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl, which poison would you pick? Detroit Lions or the Philadelphia Eagles? On that note, I'm out here. You guys have a fantastic Friday.
Anthony, thank you. Right now, I'd pick the Lions, of who I'd rather play because they're so banged up. The Lions have just an absurd amount of injuries. So that's a quick answer to that one for me. Look, I on Burrow, I don't think we have fun with the Bengals all the time this year. Burrow's is a superstar. Like he to me is. I'd be Allen, Mahomes, and Burrow for me, and then Lamar Jackson is right with them. But Burrow's a superstar. He's incredible, and that's a good point. He is the only quarterback outside of Brady to beat Mahomes in the playoffs. And so, yeah, like, but their defense is just a disaster this year. So it doesn't really matter. I don't think I would not want to play them in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to get there though. Bo Nix is interesting. I think that's the other thing Anthony was asking about there. Bo Nix is way better than I thought he would be, like way better. And it's not that I thought he would be bad necessarily, but he's just much better than I thought he would be. Like the things that he's doing are things you would expect a quarterback to do much later in their career, and his age helps. But yeah, he's not afraid to take risks. He's not afraid to check it down. He's not afraid to take off and run. And his accuracy is where we thought it would be, which was the strength of his game. He's been really good. Like, I got to give him credit. He wasn't the guy jumping off the screen to me that I thought would come in and be a great NFL quarterback, but he looks like he's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
It's going to be really interesting because whenever I think of Bo Nix, In my head, I automatically compare him to Michael Penix Jr. just because, you know, they played just basically down the road from each other in Washington and Oregon in the Pac-12. And I loved watching those guys battle each other and all of that over the years. Well, now that Michael Penix is getting a chance to start the remainder of the Falcons games for the rest of this season, you know, when I think of Bo Nix, like I said, I think of Michael Penix Jr., and I'm interested to see how Penix does compared to the way that Bo Nix has played this year for the Broncos.
And that's going to be interesting because Bo Nix did not, like, come screaming out of the gates well, right? Like, he didn't throw a touchdown pass until his fourth game. He had four interceptions in his first three. So it's not like he came out and was all of a sudden really good. He hit his stride. I'm just looking here. He hit his stride in late October. And then it like clicked. You could just see it click for him. And he's been really good basically from October on. He's been a really good quarterback, but it took him a month to get there. So yeah, I'm intrigued by Penix too, but I don't think we should expect Penix to just like come screaming out of the gates. It may be like the last game or two of the season where we, or even into next year, But the Falcons are doing the right thing here, because whatever, like, if he's going to be good, the time he'll spend now being the starter is going to be invaluable for him next year and maybe this year. I don't know. I just don't want to put too much expectation on him, because he's not going to have that runway rookies get. Like, he's got to be good right away for them to make the playoffs, and that's a lot of expectation.
He's gotten the opportunity, though, to sit and watch and learn without the pressure of starting up to this season. So we'll see that kind of path and what that does for him. I love it, because it's not like the Falcons are dead in the water. They can still make the playoffs.
I know.
And they need Penix to do it in the final three games. I can't wait to watch the way that plays out.
Yeah. Plenty of weapons, too. It's not like they don't have things for him to work with. They got a good receiving core. They got one of the best running backs in football. Like, the pieces are there for him to be successful. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get the latest on the Chiefs. We get as much of a guarantee from Andy Reid as you can get that Mahomes will play. Also, the Hollywood Brown news. What does that do for us? We're, of course, going to pick that game as well. But we'll begin to preview that one. Break it down. What do we need to see? What do we expect to see? That'll be on the other side of this break. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here at KFH and all the Odyssey studios. We got more Sports Daily coming your way right after this. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be with you here on the show. Want to say thanks to Crestview Country Club for their support of the show. All kinds of fun events coming up. You've got a big New Year's event. They've got stuff set up for the kids. I know Tommy was at the Santa brunch the other day. We were at a member appreciation. We swung by there the other night. All kinds of fun things happening, even when the weather is cold. So give Crestview a call. Ask them about all their different kinds of memberships. They've got different levels for different needs. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support of the show. Tommy, are we overlooking the Texans here? I think I am. And I think probably a lot of people are. All of this week, we've really just kind of focused on Patrick Mahomes and almost like operated under the assumption that, yeah, if Mahomes plays, all right, the Chiefs are going to win and then they'll go on. The Chiefs still have to beat the Texans, right? And it that, you know, they're not heavy favorites in this game. Yeah, they beat the Browns by a bigger margin, but it was the Browns. And let's not forget how many close games this team plays. I don't think by any means that the Chiefs are overlooking the Texans. But I think if we're being honest with ourselves, at least for me and I think a lot of others, I certainly have been. I haven't even really thought about the Texans this week. I've just thought about whether or not Mahomes is going to play.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that hasn't really been talked about a whole lot leading into this game is just overall Houston's defense is really good. I mean, they have taken the ball away a lot from teams this season. They've got the second most takeaways of any team in the NFL, 28 takeaways. And that's really that's only behind Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh leads the NFL in takeaways. Houston is number two. So that's the first thing to keep in mind. But then also they get to the quarterback. And you can tell we've talked all season long about some of these big time edge rushers that the Chiefs have faced off against, most recently Myles Garrett, and you talk about the Bosas and Max Crosby and, you know, all of these other guys that the Chiefs have really struggled against in blocking and protecting Patrick Mahomes against. The Texans have two guys that really kind of fly under the radar, and Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. Those two guys get to the quarterback also. Hunter's got 12 sacks and Anderson's got 10 and a half. They get to the quarterback, and that's been a huge, as we know, Achilles heel for Kansas City this season.
I mean, look, the Texans right now, and Danielle Hunter's one of the better pass rushers in football for a while, are second in the league in sacks behind only the Broncos.
Yep.
So they get after the quarterback.
And they remind me of the Broncos in the way that they do get after the quarterback because it's not one guy. It's not one premier edge rusher that you can just like lock down on. Like a lot of these other teams have the big guy, the one guy that you got to stop. They've got two in Hunter and Anderson.
So you know that, and it's not just that either, because the Texans are, you know, top third pretty much in the league in stopping the run as well. So they're just good defensively, right? They're just a good defensive team. So are the Chiefs. And I know D'Amico Ryans has said this week, like, a lot of the attention's on Mahomes, but the Chiefs have a really good defense too. And so if the Chiefs can grow from last week and put pressure on the quarterback also. The reason I like the Chiefs in this game, not to give picks away, is because I think the Texans are at their best when their offense runs through Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon's been nicked up. I know he's been limited at practice. I assume he'll play. But he this year has been the straw that has stirred their drink, not CJ Stroud like maybe we thought. And I do like the Chiefs' chances against any team that really relies on the run. So that's why I like the Chiefs. But I think the Texans are going to give them fits defensively. I think you definitely look, nothing changes. If you're the Chiefs, you must try to establish the run. You have to against a team that rushes the passer that way, especially when it's a team that defensively all around is pretty good. They're good against pass, they're good against the run. So if you're the Chiefs, I think the game plan would click, and you have Mahomes on whatever percentage of an ankle he's got, you have to run the ball in this game. And you have to stop their run first and foremost. The Chiefs almost always do that. I know they gave up one big run last week, but the Browns' run game was almost non-existent other than that. I think it's a good formula for the Chiefs to win. They did run it 26 times with the running backs last week. That's back into the area I think they need to live, and I think they will. And so that's why I like him in the game, but this is a big time game. I mean, this can be tough.
Yeah. And going back, by the way, going back to the big play, the big run play from Jerome Ford a week ago that the Browns executed against the Chiefs, my opinion, I just think that they caught the Chiefs napping a little bit defensively. That was a run play that was telegraphed from the moment that Jerome Ford touched the football. And Jerome Ford is not a great running back. Let's just be real about it.
He's fine.
He's okay. He's not great. I could tell as soon as they gave him the ball, I'm like, man, there are some big time openings here. And the Chiefs defense, they've not been able to close those gaps.
Were they in prevent defense?
Yeah.
Right?
And like, oh man, like this is going to break off and it's going to be kind of embarrassing for the Chiefs defense. And that's what happened. But you know, as long as you don't get caught napping against the Texans in that regard, I do think that that's going to benefit Kansas City defensively in this game. The other thing, too, is that CJ Stroud, we've talked a lot about how Patrick Mahomes has been hit a lot and rushed and all of that this season. CJ Stroud has as well. He hasn't gotten the best protection so far this season. He's been sacked 45 times. That's the second most in the NFL behind only Caleb Williams. And so I think that there's an opportunity there for the Chiefs pass rush to show up in a large way and build off of what they were able to do a week ago. Because I felt like last week was really the first time that we've seen in a while the Chiefs pass rush be able to be effective. And so if they can carry that on to this weekend against Houston, that's going to help them quite a bit as well. You know, Stroud hasn't been able to have many clean games or clean opportunities this season. And if the Chiefs defensively can keep that going, I think that's going to benefit them too.
Yeah, and you know, the Texans, they defend the pass well. They defend receivers well. It's a fascinating matchup. What is the over-unders at 42? Mm-hmm. That feels right. Yeah. I don't think I see this as some offense. And again, like, we got to be careful because, yeah, Mahomes is playing. Oh, and he's got Hollywood Brown. Right. And like, oh, there's full cast characters and all their weapons are back. And it's like, yeah. But let's hang tight.
Isn't Joe Tooney probably going to play left tackle this week? I mean, I would imagine that's the way it's going to be because Humphreys is out and they're not going to throw out, you know, Wanya Morris or Sua Mataia in there. But how about this stat, by the way? This is wild to me. When CJ Stroud has been sacked three times or less in a game, the Texans are a perfect 7-0. When Stroud is sacked four times or more, the Texans are 2-5. So clearly, like, that's been huge. If you can get to Stroud multiple times a game, and the Chiefs defense is coming off of a 5-sack outing last week against Cleveland. So they can do that. They can continue that. But man, if I'm Chris Jones, if I'm George Karloftis, if I'm Tershawn Wharton, if I'm a Minnehue, if I'm these guys and I read that stat on the Texans, it's like, man, we've got to get to Stroud because that's a key factor in whether or not the Texans win their games.
Yeah, they need to rush the passer no matter who they're playing, because I think it could be one of the biggest difference makers in their chances at a Super Bowl. If they rush the passer like they did against Cleveland, the Chiefs will win a Super Bowl. Can they? I'm not sure. And they, by the way, I think they can even if they don't. So let me clarify that a little bit. I think they can win a Super Bowl if they don't rush the passer at a high clip. I think if they rush the passer at a high clip, they will win the Super Bowl.
And I think that's, you know, at least with C.J. Stroud, that's overlooked in his sophomore season, because the narrative for a long time this year has been, well, there's a sophomore slump for C.J. Stroud, and he's not playing as well as he did in year one. Well, I think defenses are figuring out that if you can bring the house against him, then that does affect him. And he's under constant pressure this year. It's not unlike what we've seen with Mahomes this year. It's just that Mahomes has been in the league long enough, and he's skilled enough to be able, for the most part, to still be successful when he's under that constant pressure. There's a reason why Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud have not had great years. They're under constant pressure, and they've not been able to perform while under that pressure.
Yeah, the Texans may be, for all of the hype that they had at the beginning of the year, and it was a lot, right? They may be the least hyped good team, the least talked about good team that we have now.
As soon as they lost Steph Diggs, it was kind of like, well, there go the Texans.
They didn't have Steph Diggs a year ago when everybody loved them, right? Like, we all saw what they did last end of Steph Diggs last year. And other than Steph Diggs, and they've added Joe Mixon, and they got better at running back. So, and I don't, and look, I'm not like scolding anybody. I've done the same thing. I don't think of them as highly as I did to begin the year, but it's not, I don't even know why it is. It's because Stroud's not just carving apart the league like he was.
And I know a lot of knowing how to play him. He's under pressure. Right.
Yeah, he's under pressure. And that, look, that clearly makes a difference. Look at Burrow, look at Mahomes, yep. Look at all these quarterbacks that are under siege that way.
And the difference is Mahomes and Burrow, for the most part, know how to beat that pressure.
They're used to it, right? It's, yeah. You know, like, especially Burrow, more so this year than Mahomes, but it took Mahomes. I mean, we were a while before Mahomes finally hit a groove. Like, he came out of the gates not handling it well, and now he's fine. And Stroud will probably get there. It's funny to me that this team that was the trendiest pick to pick to be the real threat to the Chiefs, when you were talking, basically the non-Ravens pick was the Texans. And here they are. They're 9-5. They're going to make the postseason. And I don't think there's anybody on the planet that gives them a chance. They're one of the best pass rushing teams in football, which we know historically is a critical component to teams making deep runs in the postseason. They have Nico Collins back. Tank Dell's healthy. Joe Mixon has been one of the better backs in football this year. We're not giving them a chance in the world. And we're probably, shame on all of us for doing that.
Look, like we mentioned their names before. When you've got Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. that are anchoring your pass rush, and they can get to the opposing quarterbacks, you know, like I mentioned it a few minutes ago, they're second in the league in takeaways. They're second in the league in sacks. D'Amico Ryans is a defensive head coach, and he's clearly leaned into that sort of thing. And, you know, for as much of a sophomore slump, if you want to call it, that C.J. Stroud has had this year, it's been the opposite for Will Anderson Jr. in his second year in the NFL. He has absolutely, found his groove in getting to the quarterback. I mean, 10.5 sacks in his second year in the league is huge. And those guys don't get talked about at the same level as some of the other premier pass rushers in the NFL. I think, for me, that's the biggest concerning thing going into this particular game. And then let's just say that the Chiefs match up against the Texans again in the playoffs at some point. That would concern me about a playoff matchup, is that these guys can get to the quarterback at the same rate that C.J. Stroud is under pressure. On the flip side, their defense can get the other quarterback under pressure a ton.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm excited about it.
It's going to be a good game. Hopefully Netflix can, you know, allow us to watch it, and it goes better than the Tyson fight.
Well, it's not a Netflix game. The Netflix game is on Christmas Day. That's the Steelers game.
This is just a regular NBC game. Yep. That's right. Man, I've had that off all week. I was been dreading this Netflix experiment all week. Yeah, that's right. Hopefully they get it right on NBC. They will. It'll be a fun game. I know there was a lot of, just real quick before we take a break, there was a lot of talk and annoyance in the janky schedule, but we get two awesome games on Saturday, and I would just say, like, why not? Now, I do think we probably it's interesting that it collides with the college football playoff. And this is why this is going to suck, because what you're going to see, mark my words, college football playoff, nobody cares. Nobody's watching. Ratings are down. Ratings are down. It's because it's going up against two NFL games, right? Like, you've got two NFL games and you got all these college games. Well, what do you think more people are going to watch? So I don't like that part of it. Like, I wish we would have waited a week for that. I wish that part's going to suck a little bit, because you know it's coming. Sure. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
People are just waiting to say, oh, it's too many teams. Like, ah, nobody's watching. Nobody cares. No, it's just because we care way more about the NFL, which has always been the case since the beginning of time.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, for the most part, you know, college football and the NFL do a pretty decent job of staying out of each other's backyard for the most part. This weekend is not one of those weekends. I mean, they're both going to be competing against each other. But you know what? At the same time, you would have bowl games in general. There still are going to be bowl games. You have bowl games in general that will go up against NFL games. And, you know, so it is what it is. It's part of the world in which we live in right now. What I find really interesting is that you talk about this schedule, and for the Chiefs especially, 3 games in 10 days. If they can wrap up home field advantage on Christmas Day, I mean, let's just say that there's a world in which they do that and they rest their starters against the Broncos in week 18. You could be talking about almost a full month of rest for the Chiefs. Like, they play on Christmas Day, and then the divisional round is not until January 18th. You know, so you've got almost a full month, potentially, if they decide to rest starters in that week 18 game against the Broncos. That would be, I think that'd be big, you know, to be able to get fully healthy, give Mahomes an even bigger opportunity to get that ankle good to go for a playoff run. It'll be really fascinating to see how that all pans out.
We're going to pick those college games and those pro games, both of them. Both the Saturday games are in our picks. We'll do that when we come back. When we return, though, some news this morning that came down for the Shockers. Kevin Saul got an extension nobody knew about. At least I didn't know about it. Happened this summer. Taylor Eldred of the Eagle getting that out there today. That's ahead of a big Wichita State K-State basketball game this weekend. We'll talk a little about that game when we return. We'll come back in hour number two. We're going to make some picks. Looking forward to that. All there for you. If you want to win some HTO on the way out, all you got to do is text the keyword T right now to the short code 20357. You can enter the contest right now, one time per day. Message and data rates apply. This will be good for a free iced tea, a free iced or hot coffee at either Wichita HTO location or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. We're coming right back. All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Tommy, looking sharp today.
Thank you.
Why is that?
Hey, yeah, we've got our brand new segment, Friday Fit, here on the show. That's presented by our friends at 3570 Golf Co., which is a local Wichita, Kansas, Midwest golf apparel brand. And I am wearing one of their brand new designs of their golf polos. It's called the Amber Waves. Really small little stalks of wheat on it. And the best part about it is that these clothes are so comfortable. This is the second time that I've worn this golf polo. And, you know, you run it through the washer and the dryer and all of that. I hate when the collars get crinkly. You know, I hate all of that. But that's not the way that these shirts operate. They, you know, they put great work into making sure that the quality is top of the level, top of the line. But then on top of that, too, the designs are, you know, just amazing for this part of the country. It makes you think of living in, you know, this area in Kansas and the heartland, all of that. So I've loved partnering with them so far. And I would love for you to check out their great apparel as well. All you have to do is go to 35x70golfco.com. Check out all their designs of their shirts, their outerwear, their hats, all of everything that they've got, and use the promo code Tommy. That's T-O-M-M-Y to get 10% off your order. So that's 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy.
All right. Looking good. Loving it.
Thank you.
Hoping you guys will check that out. A little jealous, but that's okay. I'll just use the promo code Tommy, I guess.
Hey, you can get 10% off your order right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, there it is. There it is. 10%. We appreciate their support of the program, like everybody else's. All right. Rick says Casey had a week 6 bye and all other teams had a week 12. I guess referencing to the amount of rest teams have. Not sure, but yeah, I mean, that's a factor for postseason chances. But the in an ideal world, they'll either get the bye because they don't need to play in the last week of the season, or get the bye because they have home field advantage. I think both scenarios are very much on the table for them. Whether they have to, you know, whether they lose a game and then need to play through the final week of the season and open the door for the Cincinnati Bengals, Tommy. Oh, I get what Rick's saying. Okay, Rick clarified. He's talking about how the Chiefs have to play the short week and play. Yeah, that's I'm not saying don't be annoyed that the Chiefs have that scheduling quirk. That comes with being the most popular team in the NFL right now. I'm just saying, like, I like that we have Saturday games this time of year, and I don't mind having a game on Christmas and those things. That's all I'm saying. All right, coming up in the next hour, we will make our football picks. We'll also get into K-State, Wichita State. We just real quick saw the news this morning. The Eagle had it. I was not aware of this. Apparently, Kevin Saul got a contract extension in June that Wichita State didn't put out there. Listen, anybody that listens to this show understands my frustration with the communications that go on at Wichita State. I don't make any bones about how I think they're not very good at it. That's not the athletic department. That's the university as a whole. But, you know, so that news is out there. Just FYI for everybody, that extension happened. But we'll get into that when we start talking about Shockers and K-State. But the news is out there now, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really for me, you know, you even set aside performance either on the field, on the court, you know, whatever sport we're talking about. Set that aside. I think from an NIL perspective, in the way that, you know, Wichita State under Kevin Saul has really focused on trying to get the Shockers to the place where they need to be financially to compete in the NIL world, I think that's a huge reason why this extension is in place, because Wichita State trusts Kevin Saul to be the leader to shepherd them into that new world. And that's a huge reason why I think that's there. And that's apart and aside from anything performance-based in any of the sports on campus. It's NIL. It's getting the Shockers into a place where they need to be in this new landscape of college athletics.
Fundraising has never been more. It's always been one of the most important pieces for an athletic. It's never been more important. And they've got a long road to go, long mountain to climb, but a lot of facilities updates. And yeah, they got to win the games. By the way, baseball, speaking of, picked second in the American. I don't think we've mentioned that, but good for them. I think everyone's optimistic about Wichita State baseball this year. We're going to come back. We're going to make some football picks on the other side. Don't go away. It's Albrock and Caster. It's Sports Daily on a Friday.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrocht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It's hour number two here on Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you on a Friday, getting ready for a big football week and get ready for a big football night. We got college football playoffs tonight, fellas. Before we get into this week's picks, and TJ is sent his in. He can't join today to make them live. Jad, how did last week go for us?
Well, it's too bad that TJ isn't here, because I'd like to be able to congratulate him. He caught Paul.
Oh, dang.
Wow, we've got a tie for the lead?
We have a tie for the lead. Both Paul and TJ are now 50 and 44. And, you know, TJ was actually in studio yesterday. I didn't even congratulate him. I feel terrible about it now, but, you know, what can you do?
I suppose that means that we'll just have to focus on how Paul is really blown his what once seemed like insurmountable lead in this thing.
Oh, if anybody can blow it, I can blow it. But by the way, here's my saying. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So there you go. That's my philosophy for the day.
Okay.
Can we clip that? Can we clip that, Jad?
Sure.
Back later. Yeah. Just the first part. That's all we need.
All right. Let's get into this. Tonight we've got Indiana and Notre Dame. Notre Dame -7. I'll go first here because I think I might get an island. I'm going to take the Irish. Guys, Indiana is not good. Indiana hasn't played anybody. They played one team and lost by 3 touchdowns. Everybody is picking Indiana in this. Give me Notre Dame. Indiana's just not that good. Tommy?
You're not going to get an island because I'm going to take Notre Dame as well. The biggest difference maker, I think, is going to be the Fighting Irish's defense. It's really good, and it's been really good all season long. I think that they can shut down Indiana. Indiana's been a fun story. I've liked watching them. It's great that they made the CFP. I'm happy for them. I think Notre Dame wins. I don't like the number. I don't like 7. That's a stupid number for a spread to pick against. If it was 6.5, it'd be better. But it's 7. I think that Notre Dame will win by more than that, but it very well could be a push. But give me the Fighting Irish. I'm going to lay the 7.
Yeah, that Notre Dame defense and the fact that Indiana has not played anybody at all of consequence this year, Brandon, except once, and they got crushed. Where are you going with this one?
Yeah, you also weren't going to get an island because I am also on Notre Dame. So either Paul or maybe TJ have an opportunity. It's going to be a fascinating matchup just because Indiana has the best run defense in the entire country. But Jeremiah Love is something different, and I think Notre Dame, they've been one of the best teams in the country, if not the best team since mid-September. Hoosiers haven't put anybody. Give me Notre Dame.
Full disclosure. I would love for Indiana to remain a Cinderella story in the playoffs. We're making picks here, and I just can't see it. I'll tell you this, Paul. TJ's taking Indiana, so there is no island opportunity for you. So which way are you going, Notre Dame or the Hoosiers?
Well, I'm as sure as this pick on Indiana ever since Newt Rockne and the Gipper were playing on the sidelines. This is how confident I am Notre Dame. And I can't believe that you, Jacob, would say, well, this is tough. I mean, we're going to have an island for India. Well, we got an island, and that's a foolish island, but he's not here that I can say anything about. But I can tell you this right now. It's Notre Dame by 14 or 21. Wow. Come on. Oh, come on, Tommy. You know good and well.
I don't disagree, man.
I don't disagree. I'm not sure it'll be that big of a gap, but I do think Notre Dame will cover.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. PJ Glasser, for what it's worth, yesterday, I think, I'll have to go back and listen on the Odyssey app. He was on Indiana there. All right, let's go to SMU at Penn State. SMU, fellas, is getting 8.5 points on the road here. Tommy, you go first. Is there recency bias in that, you know, they weren't able to get it done against Clemson in that ACC championship game?
Yeah, I think there's part of that too, but I also think that, you know, just what is everybody's looking at Penn State, I think, a little bit too overly optimistic. I wouldn't be shocked if Penn State wins the game, but 8.5 is a lot of points, man. Give me the Mustangs. I'm going to take those points. I think it could be a touchdown type game, and Penn State could win the game by a touchdown, but still that doesn't cover the number. So I'm going to take SMU and I'll take the 8.5.
Okay, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, everything when I look at it tells me Penn State, the defensive line of Penn State, it's really good. Tyler Warren's one of the best players in the country. The home field, the cold, I mean, that's probably something Paul's going to talk about. Texas team in the cold, how are they going to react? But I just like this SMU team too much. 8.5 is too much, especially we saw them rally last week. Do they have another one? At least get it back to recover in them. And also, just to tease my next pick, I think one of these teams, there's got to be an upset or at least a close one somewhere. So why not in Happy Valley? Give me SMU.
Paul, Penn State's sitting there as the home favorite. Go ahead. Nobody's taking them yet.
You know something? I was thinking I was going to get an island with SMU. I just thought you guys would think, you know, traditional Big Ten, physical up front, both sides of the football, able to run the football, able to throw them, and it's at home. You guys, I thought you guys would just say this is going to be Penn State. 8.5 is a lot of points, but they cover. But SMU is physical up front on defense. They may have a combo of the two best inside players that I've seen. Just, you know, casually watching, you know, football on television. I really like the physicality of SMU. Got a lot of speed all over the field. But gosh, you guys might just give me an island on Penn State. You know something? I'm changing what I came in ready to do, which was take SMU. I'll go ahead and take Penn State. I'll go ahead and do it. I'll give the 8.5. I'm going to take Penn State since nobody else wants them.
Well, TJ's taking SMU, and I will say this. I'll take SMU, but, Paul, I would have done the same thing if that island was there for me. I would have taken the island. I don't think this one's hard for me. I think Penn State's better than SMU. Are they more than a touchdown better? That's where it gets a little tricky. I was surprised to see this line this big. So I'm just going to take the points, but I think a Penn State island is a really good island to get. Speaking of a lot of points, let's go to the third one, Brandon, and you can start us off here. Clemson's getting 12 at Texas. 12. PJ Glasser said the Clemson team total under is his favorite play, but this line is a hot mess. Are you comfortable with that big of a line at the Longhorns?
There's one reason that their team total under is exactly what PJ was on, because against SEC opponents this year, Clemson has scored 3 points and 14 points.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're going to be able to keep up with this Texas pass game. I like Texas at home. That is going to be a fun environment. Give me the Longhorns.
Paul?
Well, you know, Clemson might be the worst team that's in this entire, you know, final 12 teams. Maybe I'm probably ahead of Arizona State. But Clemson's not very good. I mean, when I say not very good, you know, they backed into the
comparatively speaking,
it's not as good a team. It's certainly not as good a team as some of those national championship teams were. That's for sure. This is going to be an easy game for Texas. Clemson is really just more than anything, sort of like a middle of the rung, you know, Big 12 team, as far as I'm concerned. I'm taking Texas. I don't even know that this game could also be one of those 14 to 21 point games. I'm taking Texas, and they may rout them, Jacob. They may just blow them out.
TJ's taking Clemson, so there's not going to be any island here. I'm not betting this game, I'll tell you that. I guess I'll take Texas at home. I'm with you. I think of the teams involved, Clemson is the worst team
probably,
of all 12.
Probably.
And that's, you know, the rankings played that out. But I'll take Texas. Man, I hate 12 points, Tommy. Which side of this are you on?
I think this is an absolutely terrible matchup for Clemson. I think it's a really bad matchup for Clemson, not only with the SEC, but like Clemson wants to run the football, and Texas is not going to let them run the football. I think that's going to be the major factor in this game. I think Texas gets it done up front and just overpowers what Clemson wants to do on the road in Austin. I actually don't mind the 12 points. I think it'll be more like, I don't know, at least two touchdowns, if not three. I think Texas wins big at home to move on. Give me the Longhorns. I'm going to lay the points.
All right, let's go on to the NFL. The first game up happens to be the Chiefs, Paul, and you're leading us off here. The Chiefs are 3.5. The hook is in play here. Home favorites against the Houston Texans.
Well,
we've all talked about Mahomes, but are we forgetting about Houston?
Well, and they're not a bad football team. I mean, I don't think they're a bad football team. We talked about them at the beginning of the year that they could be a contender to, you know, get into the Super Bowl. Well, I didn't know if they would or not. Still don't know, but I can tell you this right now. It all boils down to Mahomes. So I've got several questions to ask Tommy and see what he says. Can Mahomes move right to left in the pocket?
Should be able to.
Can he move up forwards and backwards in the pocket?
Should be able to.
Can he pick up those, you know, 10 to 14 yard first downs if he needs to on a scramble?
Sure, absolutely.
Can he create out in space?
He can.
Well, then I might want to just take Tennessee. I might want to take Kansas City. But here's what I think, Tommy. I don't think he can do as good a job as you're thinking. I'm taking the Texans.
Oh.
I'm taking the Texans because I'm not sure of the answers that Tommy seems to be so sure of. I'm taking.
Well, it's the right question. And look, Andy Reid has said he practiced in full. That, you know, we don't know until we see him in game action. History would tell us he can do those things. TJ, by the way, is taking the Chiefs. It's not a Mahomes thing for me and his ankle. I'm also going to take the Texans here because I want to see two things. I want to see Joe Tooney at left tackle against one of the best pass rushes in football. And I want to see if the Chiefs pass rush can replicate what it did a week ago. If the Chiefs pass rush can replicate, I think they'll cover this number. If they go back to not being able to put pressure on CJ Stroud, and we know what the Texans can do on the defensive line. Like, basically, for me, it's just do it again, Chiefs. Show me that you'll run the ball that way again, and show me that you can get after the passer that way again. But until then, the Texans are way better than the Browns. And, you know, close games have been the Chiefs' MO. That hook at 3.5, I think the Chiefs win the game, but I think the Texans cover. I'll take Houston, Tommy.
Last hour, we talked about how, you know, great the Houston defense is, and they force takeaways. They get to the quarterback. They do all those things that could really, really hurt the Chiefs. But here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes has had four games in a row without throwing an interception, when earlier in the season, that was a huge issue for him. He's really cleaned things up a lot, and he's looking for five games in a row in this game tomorrow to not throw a pick. And I don't know, the bottom line for me with that is he's really cleaned up his game. And I think that he can continue doing that, especially considering he's dominated the Texans in his career. He's only thrown one pick historically when he's played Houston. I think he'll be able to go, and I think he'll have a great game. I'm going to tail them. I haven't picked the Chiefs in quite a while, but I'm going to tail what the Chiefs did a week ago. Give me Kansas City. I'll lay the 3.5.
Brandon, the Chiefs have not covered 3.5 in 5 out of the last 6 weeks they've played. The only time they've covered it is against the Browns, who have, what, 3 wins on the season. Which side of this are you on?
Against the Browns and now against the Texans. I think they're just going to be able to make just enough plays. I think Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he's still good enough to overcome a little bit of an ankle. Hollywood Brown is back, which is going to be big for them. Then Paul always loves the narrative. This team is playing for rest. By the time we make picks next Friday, this team could already start resting for the second round of the playoffs. So not confident about it, but I'll take the Chiefs at home.
It's the number. I like the Chiefs to win, but I think it'll be another close game. I can't believe it's at 3.5, quite frankly. I thought it'd be at 2.5. Or even less, but here we go. There it is. The other is this is a fun one too. Here, Steelers at Ravens -6.5. I think I'm up first. Well, TJ technically is. TJ's taking the Steelers. I'm gonna surprise Tommy here. I'm taking the Ravens.
What?
The Steelers suck offensively without George Pickens. Now, we know though that in this game historically they keep it close, and the Steelers can keep it close and probably will keep it close, but man, they just can't score without George Pickens. They're totally different offense without him, and he's been ruled out already. And you know, the Ravens, they stop the run better than any team in football. So now it's on Russell Wilson, but it's on Russell Wilson without George Pickens. For that reason, I'll take the Ravens, and I think that they can actually cover the number finally in this series, in which they almost never do. I just don't like what I'm seeing out of Pittsburgh when Pickens isn't on the field. Tommy?
It's wild to me that the Steelers have a better record than the Ravens and have beat them straight up earlier this season, and they're huge underdogs on the road.
That's why it's got to be why.
That's got to be why, but that's wild to me that the line is where it's at. Here's what I think is going to happen. The Ravens aren't going to let the Steelers sweep them in the series, and also I think Baltimore is going to hang at least 30 in this game. I do know TJ Watt is expected to play, so that will help Pittsburgh. But at the same time, I think that the Ravens, they're pretty pissed off by what happened in their last meeting. I think Baltimore comes out ready to play. I think Lamar has a great Lamar game. I think Derrick Henry explodes. I think Baltimore goes off. And if Baltimore can hang at least 30 on the Steelers without George Pickens, I don't see Pittsburgh being able to match anywhere close to that. So give me the Ravens. I'm going to lay the points.
If they hang 30 on the Steelers, that would be impressive. Brandon, this is an always, always close game. The Ravens always let them hang around. Can they beat them by 6.5 points?
No George Pickens? No, they can't. Simply enough, I'm on the Ravens for that lone fact in itself.
And that seems so foolish, too. Like, George Pickens is not a 6-point player, or whatever it might be, a 3-point. You know, we've
he's
all
the only guy that Russell Wilson throws the ball to.
I know.
To.
We've all watched him with and without him. And it's not even that he's the guy, right, that is piling up. It's just his presence there seems to make everything else on the offense work better. Paul, We've got picks on both sides of this here, so no island for you. Which side will you take?
Well, you know something? You just gotta love the creativity of the Ravens and what they can do, and a quarterback that can create all over the place, all over the field. The ability to run the football. I mean, we talk about the Steelers, you know, running the football, but you know, the Ravens have the ability to run the football as well. I think this game is one of those games that I could flip a coin on, but I'm going to go with the Ravens. My gut says go with the Ravens. And when my gut talks to me, I eat.
What? So TJ gets a Steelers Island.
Can we clip Steelers that Island. One too? That was great.
That was great.
Vikings, Seahawks, Brandon, just because it's your Vikings, I'll go out of order here and let you lead us off. The Vikings are laying 3 points on the road in one of the more difficult places to play against an 8-win team. I cannot imagine, though, you're going away from your boys there in Minnesota.
Even if I wasn't a Vikings fan, I would probably still pick them in this spot. They're still playing for the one seed in the NFC. I just like, especially with TJ Hockenson, ever since he's coming back, Blake Cashman coming back on defense, they're rolling. They're looking good. Give me the Vikings minus the 3.
Paul, Seattle has, you know, before last week in that disappointing game at home against Green Bay, they've been on a heater. Like they won 4 in a row going into that game, 2 of those against Arizona, who we know is pretty good. They had the win at San Francisco. Are they being disrespected by being 3-point home underdogs here?
Hold on just a second. Tommy, do you have a coin?
I don't carry. I don't.
Dang it, I don't have a coin either, because I'll tell you what, I'm ready to flip a coin. I don't have a feel for this game. I'm ready to flip a coin. I don't know. What can I? Rock, Brit? Nah, that's okay. I'll just, in my mind, I'm flipping a coin. It's heads. I call heads. It's tails. I'm taking the Seahawks.
Okay, you may get an island there. TJ's on the Vikings, and I'm on the Vikings as well. I think that Minnesota is being criminally underrated right now. You cannot convince me with conviction that Detroit and or Philadelphia are heads and shoulders better than Minnesota. What does Minnesota not do well? They can run the ball, they can throw the ball, and they play great defense. They've got good pass rushers. It's the Darnold effect. That's what it is. We talked to PJ Glasser about it yesterday. Like, that's the reason. But, guys, he's playing well. Like, and we're week 16 now. I don't think the wheels are falling off at this point. I'm going to take the Vikings. Seahawks are in trouble here. I just think the Vikings are a better team. So, 3 points, no hook. I'll take the sucker bet there and take the Vikings. Tommy?
I'm going to take the Vikings as well, but it's for a totally different reason. I think it's less about the Vikings, honestly, and more about the Seahawks. I mean, Geno Smith is banged up and, suffered that knee injury a week ago. But even when Geno has been healthy recently, the Seahawks have struggled offensively. They're down in the bottom part of the NFL as far as, yards per play and all of that. In fact, they rank 21st in the league. So the offense has struggled even with Geno healthy. And we don't know how effective he'll be able to be after suffering that injury a week ago. I think the Vikings have too many different ways to beat the Seahawks. So I'll lay those points, and I guess I'll give TJ that island when it comes to the Seahawks, because I believe in the Vikings.
No,
you give
Paul
game.
That.
Paul the I island. That's right.
I get the island.
I'll give Paul the island.
Paul, give the Paul
I
island.
Don't have
that's
a,
six games.
I don't have a
I think
this
Paul
game.
And TJ are separate on 5 picks this
wow.
week.
And they're the leaders right now. We make fun, but, you know, the results are the results. There's your picks on a Friday. That's it, fellas. That's 6 games. I here we go, college football playoffs. I can't wait for it. We'll see how good this round is. The next round is going to be fantastic. But we'll get to all of it as we make our way through, and we'll have the results for you next week. We're going to keep picking games as long as we can pick games. Brandon, enjoy your Friday. Paul, we'll stick around today. Here. Let's start to talk about Shockers Wildcats tomorrow night. That's where we head next on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
See you, Brandon.
On the Odyssey app, just search for KFH. Well, that'll be an interesting show, the Jerome Tang Show. It's so wild to me. We talk about, you know, this week and how it's been for the Wildcats, and you go back and in a game where they battled back, where Coleman Hawkins, and I know he didn't deliver late, but had one of the better games he's had all season. You took him to overtime and all those things. All that stands out is the lecture after the game to the fans, which was a small part of what he even had to say after the game. I'll be curious to see if he clarifies any of that, backs off any of that, what it's been like for him there this week. But listen in tonight, you might get an indication of that. And of course, they come in and play the Shockers on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, really intriguing on the way that the Wildcats rebound and respond after what happened on Tuesday. You know, because again, you know, Drake is a good team, and they've been good this season. And so it was going to be a tough task all along for the Wildcats. But I think what was the most disappointing for me was how far behind they fell early on. They did battle back, but it wasn't quite enough, you know, and they ultimately lost that game. They shouldn't have dug the hole that they got themselves into out of the gate on Tuesday night anyway. They've got to avoid that tomorrow night against the Shockers. And, you know, and honestly, both teams, and this is what I think is so incredible about this matchup tomorrow night in SunCoke Arena, is both of these teams in their most recent game dug themselves into early holes. And so which team is not going to do that tomorrow night? I honestly, at this point, don't know.
I would suspect that both teams play much better than they did earlier this week. I think there probably was some look ahead, at least for the Shockers. But for K-State, Paul, and we asked him Fitzgerald this yesterday, and he brought up a good point. Jerome Tang got up in front of the fans and told them storm the court one time and then get used to it, essentially. And, you know, since that first year, the fans haven't been used to it. They just don't have many big wins. They don't have any big wins this year. So I don't think now is the time to be deflecting back to even the knucklehead fans that say things in a player's direct messages. But who cares? You got to ignore that stuff. You can't let that become a distraction. And again, maybe it motivates this team. You know, maybe creating that us versus them mentality motivates this team. We'll find out. And in that case, that's good psychology for a coach.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like that's the intent.
Well,
it feels like a little bit of excuse making.
Well, let's examine the ramifications on a loss and a win by both teams. Let's say K-State wins this game. Well, you know something, that's good. But it's against a team that's going to be viewed later on in the year as not a big win. It's not a game changer.
Because of the loss to UNKC.
That's right. But there's reasons. So, I mean, K-State goes on. I mean, does this lift their season? No. Does a win over Wichita State, hey, we won at Wichita State. No, it doesn't mean a thing.
You're right.
Now, but let's examine the other situation that could happen, and that's a Wichita State win. Let's say Wichita State wins. Well, that propels the Shockers on into league play. That's a good stimulus. That's a good thing. That shows that they're getting where they want to be, that the system's starting to work, and it's all positive. On the other hand, if K-State loses to Wichita State, the wheels come off the wagon. There's an excellent possibility for that.
Yeah.
You think you've been trolled this week? Wait till next week.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. There's not. It's not really like a win-win for K-State.
It's
because
not.
Because of Wichita State's loss to UMKC.
Right.
Now, I will say, it's a massive win for Wichita State.
And a massive loss for K-State.
Psychologically. But the messaging earlier in the week from Coach Tang was that Wichita State is an at-large type team. They may very well be an at-large type team. I think they probably are in at least that stratosphere. But for the rest of the season, they're not going to be viewed that way because of the loss to UMKC.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that will never be able to happen for them now. And that probably does make it. That sucks for K-State.
Because then you know, you don't get that taken off your resume. You know Wichita State doesn't get a loss to UMKC taken off of their resume when March comes around. That's the I think the most unfortunate part about that loss for the Shockers. And there are so many factors that play into the outcome of this game tomorrow night. But if we're only looking at, if we're doing a vibe check on both teams. If we're only looking at the vibes for both of these teams entering into the game, I think the vibes are probably higher for Wichita State than K-State, even though the Shockers just lost to UMKC. Because I think that, you know, that was something that sort of shocked the system a little bit. It's like jumping into an ice bath and it kind of shocks you. And then you're like, what happened? What did we do? Like, we got to refocus. And I think that that's what Wichita State and Paul Mills have focused on as this week has gone on post Tuesday night's game. On the flip side, the conversation surrounding K-State is still what happened with Jerome Tang in postgame and the comments that he made and, you know, kind of distracting away from the issues at hand with the Wildcats and all of that. So if we're only going off of vibes, I think vibes are actually better right now for Wichita State going into the game tomorrow night, even though they lost to UMKC on Tuesday.
Yeah, maybe going in, but that could turn quickly.
Absolutely.
Right? They could be just as bad. I agree with you. If the Shockers respond with a good performance tomorrow.
And that's wild then, how that, I mean, because if you just looked at the final score of both games on Tuesday night and you didn't know anything else, you had no other context, you would probably say that the vibes would be higher for Kansas State because Drake is a good team and, you know, it was a 3-point deficit at the end of the day. And then you look at what happened with Wichita State and they lost a bye game at home, right? So just by looking at it on paper, you'd be like, man, things are probably falling apart a lot worse at Wichita State than at K-State. But then when you add in the context of everything that happened post-game with both coaches and everything like that, I mean, yeah, come on. I feel like Wichita State is probably in a better place mentally entering the game tomorrow than the Wildcats are.
That's almost hard to fathom.
It is, and you're right. And I'm just looking here, and I have, you know, some. So right now I'm looking. Northern Iowa is in the top 100 of KenPom. Let me see if Minnesota. St. Louis is not. St. Louis has really struggled. Minnesota has fallen out to some degree. Let's see. Let's check one more. East Tennessee State. They have fallen just outside of the top 100. But I think Western Kentucky, Northern Iowa. Like, you look at some of the wins for Wichita State, and I think you just, yeah, Western Kentucky's right around 100. The reality is they've got better wins than K-State does. Even with the, you know, the Florida drumming and the disappointing loss to UMKC, the Shockers at least have a handful of quality wins. I can't sit here right now and tell you without going line by line on K-State's schedule with these cupcakes, which of those was their quality. They don't have one. They just don't have one yet. And so now for them, to Paul's point, if they beat Wichita State, but all of a sudden now you're looking at Wichita State, who will have to deal with the ramifications metrically. I mean, they're 113. This would be K-State's best win of the season, no question. But they fell 32 spots in the net rankings after that UMKC loss. 32 spots. So, you know, for K-State fans, and this is not in any way a knock on Wichita State. We all are highly supportive of Wichita State. We want them to do well. For K-State fans, that's not going to be good enough. And the reality is, even if Tuesday's games did not happen, This line, this, you know, this is not, it's not quite a pick 'em probably. I think K-State would be maybe lightly favored, but these are pretty two even teams right now. And so K-State's got to deal with that reality now. Like, there's not a world where K-State fans are going to hang a banner because of a win over Wichita State because of what happened to Wichita State now on Tuesday. That's for K-State fans.
Yeah.
For Wichita State, though, if Wichita State brings K-State in front of the environment I envision tomorrow being very good and gets that win, that could be incredible for the program. One more thing. It doesn't really matter for K-State. They're playing their meaningful games in the Big 12, right? It matters for bragging rights.
But I think it matters going back to the vibe check. I think it matters for Jerome Tang to ride the ship a little bit here
before
you get into Big 12 play. I think it does matter. I think it is important because you enter into Big 12 play flat and on a losing streak, and you know you lose to Drake, then you lose to Wichita State. And then you get into Big 12 play. I mean, yeah, like, I do think it matters, you know, with Kansas State. And the outcome of the way that they enter conference play, for sure.
I just mean to the resume. If they end up lose the rest of their games but finish in the top six of the Big 12, they'll be fine. They'll make the NCAA tournament. That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
perception-wise, like we all agree, like K-State's in kind of a no-win situation here.
I'm not even looking at necessarily like Coleman Hawkins and what he can do. In my mind, I think the key matchup is going to be Brendan Housen, and can he shoot from long distance, and what can Wichita State do to defend that? Because going back to the DePaul game a week ago when the Shockers were on the road, that's what did the Shockers in down the stretch, was DePaul hit their three-pointers. And everybody knew going into the game that's what DePaul does, is shoot threes. Wichita State has gone up against several teams in the non-con that shoot the three really well. And Kansas State has their main guy in Housen, who is their sharpshooter from downtown. If they can limit him, if they can get bodies on him, make sure he doesn't get space to shoot those threes, and if he does get threes up, have them be contested threes, I think that's going to be a key difference maker for Wichita State down the stretch in the game tomorrow.
I agree. And on the flip side of that, Paul, K-State better figure out how to run some offense that doesn't involve Hawson firing up 23s.
Yeah.
I'm fine if he does it. But that can't be the only way they generate offense, which has been their problem, right? They have to do anything else. ISO ball fire up threes has been the K-State offense for 2 years now, and it ain't working. Mm. They got to figure something else out.
Well, but that's what everybody does nowadays, whether it's the NBA. You just got to understand that's the mentality right now. You know, three, 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 three. And, you know, we've talked to coaches who have given us the philosophy, you know, you only got to make a third of the threes, and then you're shooting 50% from the twos. You know, how you play with the numbers, and that's the way that works.
But those are good threes. That's not just ISO ball fire away. Well, that's like setting up open looks at three.
I got you. Yeah. It's a set play, run to perfection to open up a three and get a good look at the three. I got you. But I got one quick question for you, a little off the topic, because I like these kind of things. I find them fascinating. And that's going to be the crowd tomorrow. I guess it'll be
tomorrow.
Yeah. It is tomorrow, isn't it? Saturday. The crowd at Koch Arena. I think it's going to be fascinating. Question to you guys. Who has more fans? Will there be more purple, or will there be more gold and black? Will there be more purple in the stands than Wichita State? I'm just because there's the potential that you could have 6,000 people from K-State there versus, say, 4,000 with Wichita State. What do you guys think? I'm just curious what you think.
I'm guessing 60-40 Shocker fans, probably.
Oh, you mean the 60 is Shocker fans?
Yeah. I think people have had – this will be why I think this, despite – this should be a great atmosphere, because this is a game people have had circled for a while. This isn't like your walk-up traffic game.
Right, I got you.
This is a game people have planned on since the beginning of the season on both sides. And I think if you're the Shockers and you're a diehard Shockers fan, that's what you don't want to see happen, right? And so there's a little bit of a defend the home court mentality probably there. An absolute total guess. I'd guess 60-40 Shockers. Hmm. You disagree with that, Tommy? You think it'd be...
I think it's somewhere around there. I don't care as much as of the split. I just want it to be a good crowd. Things are not positive right now, right this second, for either team. I don't want that to dissuade people from either on either side showing up tomorrow night. I just want it to be a good crowd. It looks like, and I don't know about, you know, if we're looking at a projected sellout or what that's going to be, but I do know that regardless, it should be the largest crowd in the Paul Mills era at Wichita State. Bottom line.
I would think so. We talked about this yesterday a little bit, and just briefly at the end of our conversation with Fitz, and I've been thinking about this now since yesterday. I can't wait to get Kevin Saul back in here to ask him this question. If you're a game scheduler, or you have anything to do with that, with what we know about the changing landscape, I would envision down the road, and I don't know how quickly, that we get far fewer bye games and far more high quality, true road home and home situations. Because if everybody now has to raise more money, and obviously this doesn't apply to a school like Kansas, who's going to sell out no matter what, but Wichita State and K-State, it very much applies to, who don't sell out all their games right now. Why would you ever waste your time, A, spending the money on a bye game, and B, not scheduling as many high-profile games as you possibly can to try and drive that ticket revenue? I mean, I think...
Yeah, well,
and, you know,
I totally
that hasn't
agree.
always... hasn't always been the case because there are a lot of things. But right now, like, money is the biggest factor for every college across the country. Why wouldn't you schedule? I would call every team. I don't care if I think they're going to beat me by 50. I'd call them all because I'd want the big crowds because I got to raise money.
And I don't think you're going to see a lot of the big multi-team events around the holidays in the years to come. I read an article a few weeks ago about the Maui Invitational and how historic the Maui Invitational is, but it was on the heels of Dan Hurley at UConn saying he wouldn't take his team back to Maui, and about how, just in general, teams lose money when they go to Maui. The exposure is good for them, but they're expected, they have to pay for everything. They pay for the flights and the hotel. They pay for everything. And it ends up being a money loser for teams, whereas you've got these other, like, kind of one-off events where, you know, like Kansas is going to go play Duke in Vegas for one game and they make a bunch of money doing it. How that kind of starts to be more of the norm than what we've seen, you know, over the last few decades with these multi-team events.
Makes sense.
Somebody in Maui has got to foot that bill, yes. But like we saw Kansas announced into that big Vegas tournament, that's a moneymaker.
It's absolutely a moneymaking opportunity.
For sure, there has to be. I hope that one of the side effects of the money situation in college now is that we get nothing but high-profile pre-conference games. I think it'd be blast.
Hey, there's a reason why throughout this entire show, and the Jayhawks have a game this weekend. They're playing Brown. Are we going to talk about Kansas playing Brown?
No, probably.
I mean, we're not. Nobody cares.
We won't make it to that today. Kansas plays Brown this weekend, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. and that's the only game they play for 2 weeks before they get into conference play. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're coming right back. It's Albrecht. It's Caster. It's Savage. Jad Chambers producing for us. It's a Friday as we wrap up the week here on Sports Daily.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, here on Sports Daily. We got college football playoffs for the first time ever. What is the distance? We had a week off right between conference championship games in this first round, a full week off. I think that's a mistake. I think they should correct that. There's no reason that these teams shouldn't immediately begin playing the playoff games immediately following the conference championship games, because what you've got is teams in this that didn't play a conference championship game, like Notre Dame and Indiana. It kind of just feels like a bowl game. Like, we haven't seen these teams play football in a really long time. And I do think, as we're going to want to tinker this and, you know, tweak and massage the way it looks, I'm looking at Indiana. The last time we saw Indiana play, fellas, November 30th. Okay. The last time we saw Notre Dame play, November 30th, 20 days since either of those two teams have played. You can't have that, Tommy. We got to be playing these games as quick as we possibly can. They don't need a week off after conference championship week. They need to just immediately pick up and play again.
Well, and on top of that, too, I mean, just from the viewing public, I had a hard time last week. And nothing against Army, Navy. I know it's tradition, all of that. But I'm like, can I watch something? Is there something else I can watch? Whether it's Army, Navy, or the FCS championship semifinal, whatever. Like, I get it. That's fine. But there's no reason, again, why we can't play at least a couple of games, especially for the teams that are not playing in conference championship games.
And the other thing is, like, the teams with a bye get another week off. Like, no offense to, and I agree with you, no offense to those other games, but here's what happens, Paul, with college football. And this has always been the issue, and I think it's why there's never the correct amount of momentum heading into whatever the championship games have been. It's because we just forget about it. Right? Whatever it is, like, we don't have the kind of attention span. You can't expect us for 3 weeks to sit on our hands and care about Indiana. We just can't. You can't do that. You've got the NFL taking attention away at that point. Now college basketball is getting into the mix. You've got the NBA and whatever it is that they're doing. Like, you're doing the sport such a disservice by spending so much time away before you actually play these games. The week off has got to go. Now, you're never going to have the perfect scenario, because let's say Notre Dame was a top four seed and had a bye. right? And their final game was November 30th. If they were a top four seed, we still wouldn't see them until next week. They would have spent an entire month without playing a football game.
Mm-hmm.
That can't happen.
Now, the good news is when that happens, you know, you got kids that might be dinged up a little bit, you know, and they have a chance to recuperate and get, you know, but you can only go to the weight room so often. You can only go to the practice field so often. You can only put the pads on so often. You said a word in your previous monologue just about 3 minutes ago. You used the word momentum, didn't you? You used that. And there's a reason you used that, because at this point of the year, momentum is everything. Kids focused is everything. And you're right. There can be such a thing as too much time off. And so I don't know that it's quite the advantage. But, you know, there's certainly a way that I don't think it would harm the college game to start playing in the playoffs right after the conference championships.
Of course it doesn't. Every other level does it.
Everybody's doing it. And so I'm just thinking to myself, that would be fine with me. And I think it would be good for football, because you're right. There was a void, wasn't there? Because all this is lined up. All this is ready to go with the 12 teams in the tournament. And yet you can't go. And that's frustrating. And you're thinking, why not? There's nothing on. And by the way, if you're a TV broadcaster, Jacob, you can answer this question. Wouldn't you kind of want to have the monopoly just a little bit with those teams that you're going to give up once you get into the, you know, you're getting close to the playoffs and all the runs and races in the NFL? Wouldn't you just think it'd be almost an advantage from a broadcasting standpoint?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, to the level of, think about it this way. The season ends on a selection Sunday. We're playing in college basketball championship games on a selection Sunday. The NCAA tournament has started 3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
3 days on the play-in games.
On the play-ins, right? That's right. Yeah. On the play-ins, that would be right.
There's no, like, you're right on it, and that keeps the momentum. Could you imagine if they did selection Sunday and then waited 2 weeks before they get into the actual tournament?
That would be hard to imagine.
We're fired up?
That's
no.
Right.
I don't understand why we always overthink college football.
You know something?
Are you telling me that if these were second round games this weekend, we wouldn't be probably more fired up for them?
Oh, that's right.
Absolutely would be.
Yeah.
Because we would have had them. We would have never stopped. There would have never been a gap in college football. It's why bowl games are always like, oh, yeah, they've got bowl games to play. For me, anyway. And I think most casual fans, that's the way they feel about it.
I do like, though, that we're now officially in the time of year where, starting today, actually, where bowl games start early. I think there's a game that starts at like 11 this morning. So as soon as we're done here, I might flip. But not early in the day. Like in the evenings, yeah, they've been going on this week. But today, I'm going to flip that on here in just a few minutes.
There is one bowl game outside of the playoff that I give any rip about, and it's K-State's bowl game, because we pay attention to K-State.
But you're not telling me that you're not at least going to like have it on in the background?
What about West Virginia and Memphis?
You're not
going to
watch. I mean, coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, Ohio and Jacksonville State in the Staff DNA Cure Bowl. That's coming up at 11 o'clock this morning.
I will not watch a second of that game, and I'll bet you, if you're being honest, neither of you will.
Tulane and Florida.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.